You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Sony Open. Joining me to break it all down, it's Kyle Porter, KP. Hey, buddy.
How we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Another week, another good golf tournament. It's the best. I love doing this. It's so much fun.
This is the full day. We got the morning wave, the afternoon wave, everybody out there. So the first long day of golf in 2022.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, this is, it's interesting because we talked about it coming into the week about how this is a course where you can be long and be successful. You can be really short, which we're about to talk about, and be successful. And that's really how it played out. You've got guys up at the top of this board who, you know, Corey Connors is pretty long, Ryan Palmer co-cracks in the top 10, but then you've got Jim Furyk leading, or I guess he's in second now. You got Kevin Na up there again. These are not guys that are super long. So it really, I thought the way the tournament played out on day one was emblematic both of how it's played out historically, but also kind of the way the field is made up this year, which is just a kind of a smattering of different players. So it was a fun day one. It was a good first day of the Sony Open.
It makes complete sense. And with 18 holes in the books, our defending champion, Kevin Na. Oh, I thought we had the drop ready.
Kevin Na.
All right, we'll work on our timing. It's a little rusty. It's, you know, we're just getting, it's 2022. We're getting into things here. But KP, our defending champ, goes out, shoots a 61, absolutely dialed in. This should probably be no surprise because we have seen him go low really early and often in his PGA Tour career, actually more than anybody since 1983. He's got more rounds of 62 or better. So this is right up Kevin Na's alley.
Do you remember if he went wire to wire here last year?
I can find out for you. I was looking through the wire to wire things earlier, but I'll check.
Well, and it felt, I mean, he made three, six, seven threes on the front nine, which is pretty good. Went out in 29 and then came home in what, 32? And you know, it's interesting. I was on CBS Sports HQ this morning, and they were Jenny Dell was the host, and she was like, "What do you think about Kevin Na? Like, can he go back to back? Can he win this tournament again?" And of course, the answer to that is always, I mean, he could, you know, but is he going to? The way he did it last year, Rick, and I'm curious to see just kind of what your thoughts are on this. The way he won the Sony Open last year was he caught a hot putter and he rode it and he won the event. And that happens. Like that's great. That's a great way to win a tournament. To me, it didn't seem super replicable. He's not been like playing great golf necessarily. But today he went out and I think he led the field from tee to green. He did. Just ahead Patton Kizzire. So to me, it was a really like it was the number is impressive, but I thought the way it played out was maybe even more impressive than the number kind of tells you.
So a couple of things. He did not go wire to wire last year. He was five shots back of Joaquin Niemann, Peter Malnati, and Jason Kokrak after the opening round. A Saturday 61 is what thrust him into contention. But your observations are absolutely correct. The way that Kevin Na wins is with the flat stick. He did it at Shriners, right? He lost strokes from tee to green at Shriners, gained 14 with the putter, won that event. He's gained over 10 strokes at the U.S. Open in 2017. He nearly gained 10 when he won here. He didn't even win here. He almost gained 10 strokes at the Sony Open in 2008. What I'm getting at is this is kind of how he does it, right? It's like the four times a year he catches an absolutely scorching putter are his four chances to win, and he cashes in like 25% of those.
But he didn't putt that well in round one. So is that...
Yeah, this is different. This is actually the weird one.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think Kevin Na's had kind of an underrated career, you know, to be out there for... I mean, we've kind of joked about it. He's made $38 million or whatever it is. He's been out there for 20 years. And he's not like a... I don't know. He's not a great ball striker, but he just gets it done, you know? And it's the walking the putts in thing I could use less of maybe in my life. It's
I mean, he does not, he really doesn't save them, right? He just empties the chamber every single time.
He does. And it's incredible whenever, I think it was at Tournament of Champions, he didn't even horseshoe on. He like missed the cup and he was walking it in. And you're like, oh, well, that's how it looks when it goes poorly. So, I think he's got staying power, man. We've seen guys go back to back at the top or at this event. I think he has staying power at the top. That's what I was referencing. Jimmy Walker went back to back here, right?
Yes. Yeah. Last guy to go back to back here.
So maybe we get that again. I don't know. There's not a ton of like firepower around him. There's some good players, but there's nobody that you're like, it's not like JT's two back, you know? And so I don't know. I think we'll probably look at the odds at the end, but I think Na's pretty interesting at the top.
I think if he wins, he's going to have to get back to his DNA. He's going to have to putt better because the approach round, what you were referencing where he's firing darts, it's like, it was like his sixth best approach round ever. It's not like that's not going to happen this week. So I'm a little bit less optimistic because I think he's just going to have to do it in a way that is sustainable for himself.
Dude, you watch him and you're like, it doesn't look that great. You know, like
what fairway wood did he hit into the par five to like 6 feet? And it looks like he had lost it 30 yards to the right.
Yeah, I think they just showed it on Golf Channel. It's like the opening intro. And it's a little bit like somebody else who I think doesn't look that great, but is obviously an amazing player, Webb Simpson. It's a little, there's some Webb in there of just like, I don't know. Is that like what I want to YouTube when I'm trying to teach my kid how to swing? Probably not. But yeah. I think it, again, like Data Golf says he's the 21st best player in the world. And you're like, how does that happen? And it's a testament to, he grind, everybody out there grinds, but he just gets the ball in the hole. And I think that is, I think it's really impressive. Honestly, I really do.
Yeah. Well, here's the gap to, or the bridge to one of the guys in second, named Jim Furyk. Kevin Na turned pro 20 years ago. Jim Furyk already had 6 PGA Tour wins by that point. That's from our buddy Sean Martin. And Furyk goes out in 62. The morning wave that was highlighted, of course, KP, by his ace at 17. We often talk about the longevity of Phil Mickelson on this tour. Jim Furyk has been doing exactly this for a very long time.
He has. And one of those 6 wins was here, right? 1996, I think. I did laugh. His transcript afterwards, he said he listed all the places where he's made ones in competition at PGA Tour events, and he couldn't remember which one was the most recent. He listed off like 7 places. And you're like, oh, okay, that's, you know, a little different than what my career looks like. But
I too want to forget the aces that I've made all over the world.
Exactly. He was the opposite of Na. He putted lights out. It would be sweet if Jim Furyk won this golf tournament. He's over there for, he kind of alluded to this, but he's over there because the senior event is next week.
Next week. Yeah.
I think it's the first, I mean, they always kick off the year over there, and I don't know that he would be there if that wasn't going on. And I'm rooting for it. Like, of all the guys on this board, I know I picked Corey Connors and he is 3 back. Maverick McNeely would be a cool story. Sahith Tagala is up there. Na going back to back would be kind of cool. But of all these guys, I think Furyk winning here would be the coolest. So I think that's your, I don't know if there is a number one storyline after day one, but if there is, I think that's probably it.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes on Friday. The stat nerds don't love the way that Furyk did it. You mentioned not only gaining a ton of strokes with the putter, but also making the ace a little bit unsustainable to pull that off for four consecutive days. But we'll see if Furyk's able to do it. And then Justin Rae found, obviously, as he tends to do, one of the great stats here. Four times in the last 10 PGA Tour seasons has someone made an ace and gone on to win. Did you see this stat?
Okay.
Do you want to take a crack at any of these?
Four times in the last 10
seasons.
Seasons.
Yep. A golfer made an ace and then gone on to win. Yeah, I would not have known any of these, by the way.
Kevin Chappell one?
No.
He shot that 59. I don't know if that included an ace. I don't even know if he won. I think he did.
I don't remember any of these.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Sergio? All right. Most recently, 2020, Webb did it at Phoenix, made an ace and won.
Oh, that's right.
2019, Molinari did it at Bay Hill. This one, I think I remember. 19, JB Holmes at Riviera. I remember that one.
Okay. I remember the Webb one.
And then DJ did it at Doral in 2015.
I almost said DJ. I don't remember that one. I remember JB Holmes making an ace at Doral, but I guess he didn't win. That's a really difficult trivia question.
Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible.
Your knowledge has to be just like photographic to know that.
Well, it has to be better than photographic because you might not have actually seen the ace either. Yeah, it has to be like true. You had to like read about it and then put it in your brain. Real quick before we get to a break, and we'll do the odds and all that stuff, and we've got a fun little storyline on the other side. Russell Henley, a little bit of some diverging opinions on Henley coming into the week, but Greg Ducharme, our very own, picked him to be the first round leader. Had to get up and down, just greenside at 18, couldn't get it done. He's going to be one shot back heading into the second round, but Henley also has won here. This leaderboard is exactly what you would expect for YLIF guys who should have success at this course.
Yeah, and it was a good day for him. You know, it was statistically pretty spread out. I feel like there's some places that the tour goes to that you're like, this just feels like a Russell Henley place, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a dumb thing to say, I realize, because like you need to have the stats match up and all that, whatever. But it just feels like Russell Henley should thrive at Sony. I wanted to like put him in some bets or something this week, and his history here is kind of weird. He's missed a bunch of cuts. He's also won here, but he's been more up and down at YLIF than I would have thought coming in. So yeah, it was good to see him have a good day. His year over year improvement in approach has been just, I mean, I think he's improved like each of the last five or six seasons. Now it's like, what's the word I'm looking for? Opposite correlated, inversely proportional, whatever.
To his
putter. His putting's gone the other way. And so I, you know, that's something to keep an eye on as well. But he's a lights out ball striker. And obviously with the wind down late on Thursday, he just kind of tore it up and nearly caught Kevin Na at the end.
Yeah, both Na and Henley, they're on short rest. They're going to go right back out on Friday morning. Furyk's got the long wait. He'll go out Friday afternoon. We're going to take a look at the odds board, and then we have to discuss this Netflix documentary that we are going to get that everyone is very, very excited about. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. All right, our friends over at Caesars, we've got the live odds here. And Kevin Na, no surprise, he's already out in front. He's won this event before. 4-1, he's your favorite. Russell Henley checking in at 6-1. And then you can get Seamus Power at 12-1. Corey Connors at 14-1. And Jason Kokrak at 18-1. Those are your five shortest odds heading into round two. KP, anything tickle your fancy here?
I mean, Connors still.
Yeah, for sure, Connors.
I think that, you know, obviously he was my pick coming in. He hits the ball really well on Thursday. He putted fine. You know, for him, it's good. For him at this course, it's actually not that great because he's putted right. really well here. Because Iyer plays really, really well at this golf course. He was another guy that kind of popped up as I was doing research this week of – he just plays way above like his average at on the tour at YLI. So he's kind of interesting because he lost strokes putting and still shot, what is that, 63? He was the only
yes.
He was the only guy in the top 10, top 13 that lost strokes putting. So that's pretty impressive. But it's still Connors at 14-1.
Yeah, Connors and Kokrak for me. Connors, perfect day. Absolutely perfect Thursday start. Go out, be basically a zero with the putter, a small positive. Do your thing everywhere else. Keep your head above water. No one got out too far ahead of him. Perfect Thursday for Corey Connors. And then Kokrak, who was miserable last week, and there were still, you know, 45 or 50-1 numbers on him entering the week. Finished with an eagle to get the 6-under. He drove it well. He putted it well, which is good to see because he hemorrhaged strokes across the board last week. So those would be the two that I'd be pretty excited about. Odds makers, or at least Caesars, not as excited about Jim Furyk, 25-1, the same odds as Hideki, who is 4-under.
Well, if you want to be on Furyk, the thing about him is like he'll have. Like if he can figure out how to just get himself to Sunday, then I feel like it's like Phil at Kiowa, right? You get to the final 18, you're like, well, just throw out everything else. It doesn't matter I know how to do this on a Sunday in a way that guys like Tyler Duncan and Seamus Power and Michael Thompson don't. You know, because I've been doing it for 25 years. So I think that's interesting. Michael Thompson's beard, also interesting. Did you see that?
I did see it, yeah. Oh, we're getting some great facial hair recently.
Saith Tagala's beard is pretty good, too.
These guys just have been hibernating for a couple of weeks, and they just come out with whatever's on the face. I love it.
I didn't even, like, I saw you see Michael Thompson at 3M or wherever he pops up, right. And he just looks like a... You know, he doesn't like a lot of these guys. They don't look like professional athletes, right? And he just looks like a dude, and he almost looks like just clean shaven. I'm like, can he grow it? Like, could he grow a beard? And then he looks like Tom Hanks in Castaway at Wild Eye. It was crazy.
Safe to say, he can indeed grow a beard. Okay, this Netflix thing. So, what do we know? What don't we know? Obviously, huge success from the Netflix, the F1 series that has been credited for really growing the popularity of the sport here in the United States, just rave reviews across the board. And now we're getting a golf one, KP, and now we're learning who's going to be featured in this. And the cast, do they get an IMDb credit for this?
Yeah.
They're going to,
sure.
Right?
Like, yeah, for sure.
Colin Morikawa is going to have like an IMDb credit. Actor himself is what it'll say. But it's an absolutely stat. I mean, it's like five of the top seven players in the world. Jordan Spieth, all four majors, including Augusta National. Everybody's in, except someone we'll talk about in a second. But this is, I have no idea what to expect. I don't know how it's going to work, but a lot of buy-in so far.
1 to 10, how shocked were you by how many top guys they got?
I'm shocked because I generally have low expectations. I generally expect to be disappointed most of the time, which is probably a personal problem that I have. Yeah, it's probably like I should talk to somebody about that. But when you think about it, and what we know about it, you know, this style of documentary from Netflix, obviously very positive reviews. And if when you are an independent contractor, and you are at the level of the top guys, the vast majority of your money is coming from off the course. So you would want to be featured in something that will hopefully be as popular and successful as the F1 version of this. So from that angle, I'm not surprised that they were able to get everybody.
Yeah, I just I was shocked. I got to say that they got like Spieth. That's stunning. He's a private person. He does what he needs to do to just he does the minimum and he does it well. I mean, that's not a criticism. I actually think it's admirable to do the minimum to like, you know, satiate all your sponsors and just you need to like live your life. Like I think the way he goes about it is admirable. So to get Spieth, to get I don't know, Hovland.
Here, I've got the list. Brooks. I've got the list here. Yeah.
Take it.
So alphabetically, Abraham Ancer, Daniel Berger, Cameron Champ, Joel Damon, Tony Finau, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Ricky Fowler, Sergio Garcia, Harry Higgs, Max Homa, Victor Hovland, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, Kevin Na, that man in first place right now, Mito Pereira, love that, Ian Poulter, Xander, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, and Bubba Watson.
Mudball.
There you go. The perfect.
I mean, Spieth is the most shocking. I think Finau is surprising. I think some of these older guys like Sergio, that's surprising. I'm not shocked that, you know, like Brooks, I'm not surprised by that. I think it's kind of something that he envisions himself doing or whatever. JT makes sense. Morikawa is a little surprising. I don't think he puts himself in a ton of positions to like, because, you know, you, if you're one of these guys, you're like, oh, I've seen the Drive to Survive. Stuff happens. Like they see you in bad situations and there's just a there's just a lot that can like go badly, and those guys aren't like morons. Like they've watched Drive to Survive, you know. I think that sometimes we think all they do is just go to the range and play. Like they've all watched it, like I'm sure. And so I'm fascinated that they got them all. Who's your leader in the clubhouse of like people are gonna walk away either liking or just thinking differently about this person after this documentary?
It could be Justin Thomas. I think Justin Thomas is, you know, he's obviously had his issues in the past, but he's had his really big moments of like, I love me some me. I think he walks the line. I think he could come off like a fiery, pompous villain, or I think he could come off as like Captain America, lovable, perfect America's child. I think he could come off in either direction.
Yeah, I think there's so many great candidates here. I think Spieth is going to be fascinating because he could come off as like just very endearing or maybe a lunatic. I don't know. Yeah. I think Hovland is going to be super endearing.
It's going to be heart eye emojis.
Yeah, somebody on, I think it was Sean Zock, said that on Twitter, like Hovland's going to steal the show, and he might. I think DJ is going to be probably endearing. It just depends on how it gets framed, what moments they capture, you know.
Right. It's going to actually depend on how the season shakes out, right? Because, like, when you get these guys in contention or you get them in the heat of the moment, like, you know, if Tommy Fleetwood never gets into the heat of the moment, we're, like, never going to see Tommy Fleetwood or whatever, right? So it's I don't know. It's going to be a lot of luck, but yeah, some of these guys, would you rather have it like this style documentary, or you just take these 20 guys and you put them in like a Big Brother house and do it like a reality television show?
That would be, I mean, with Higgs and Damon involved, that would be something. Yeah. I mean, like, are they going to like be in DJ's well, DJ's are probably not a great example here. Are they going to be in JT's rental house in Augusta when he leads the Masters on Sunday morning?
I hope so.
Me too.
Do you know how much content, how many drops we're going to get? If they are watching, if I see what Justin Thomas eats on Sunday morning for breakfast before he heads out to Augusta National with a lead at the Masters, I will be laying on the ground for the rest of my
life. And that's the thing. I think, you know, that Tiger documentary thing came out this time last year. 18 months ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
I saw bits and pieces. I never really watched the whole thing, but this is like, to me, this is something that I am unbelievably compelled by. If it's done well, like I will watch every second of this, the second it comes out, and I'll probably rewatch it. Honestly, like if it's done really well, and maybe that's just like being prisoner of the moment. Maybe it's because like I'm also covering these guys. I don't know what it is, but the fact that they got them all, like I'm very like drawn to this, even though, which I think you were going to mention, I wish they would have gotten two of Bryson, Rahm, and Rory.
Yeah. So Bryson has been asked about this, and of course he had things to say. The quote from Bryson DeChambeau, quote, "There's a lot of great people on there. If I was to go on there, yeah, it would be cool to see, but I feel like there's a lot more interesting stories. You've got Harry Higgs, you've got numerous others. I don't want to take the light away from them for their potential growth, to grow themselves in a manner that's unique to them, where they're already pretty far behind. They have the opportunity to grow a lot more than I do in that regard." End quote from Bryson.
I mean, like, you don't have to say that. Like, you don't, like,
he was doing so good until he got to the last sentence.
And I also thought it was kind of weird that he said, "You got Harry Higgs and you've got numerous others." Like, that was just I think they played on the same college team for a little while, but
he has foot and mouth disease. He cannot stop himself from putting his foot in his mouth.
It doesn't even I don't even really get it. Is it like because they don't have YouTube channels or like what's the, I mean, Ricky Fowler's got three times as many followers as Bryson does. Right.
Yes. I don't know what his metrics are for that. I mean He's not wrong, but I don't think you say it.
Well, but he acts like maybe he's not wrong, but he's also not, he acts like he's this, he acts like he's a marketing guru. Like he doesn't even have like the best endorsements on tour. But he's acting like, "Oh, I'm like way beyond all of you guys in this realm." And it's like, I don't know. Are you? It was just like a bizarre, you know, not that he ever says anything normal, but it was just a very bizarre like path to take.
Yeah. So no Bryson, no John Rahm, no Rory McIlroy. Would have been cool to see those guys, but I think we're going to be, I'm just hoping we get anything close to Drive to Survive.
Do you think Bryson edits his own YouTube videos?
I think he's an EP. I think he's got final say, executive producer. He gets final say in what goes out there.
He's almost like the, did you ever see the sketch on Saturday Night Live of the woman who was like just one-upped everybody? Did you ever see this?
Yeah, I've seen this.
And she's like, "Oh, you, Neil Armstrong went to the moon. Well, I invented the moon." that's a little bit what Bryson is like here, right? It's like, "Oh, you guys are on a documentary. Well, I invented documentaries. You know, I'm so far beyond that. I'm already on to, you know, I'm doing documentaries in the metaverse." And you're just like, "Well, it's his like self-awareness and view of self is just doesn't match up with reality a lot of times, I don't think.
Has Bryson ever tweeted about the metaverse? Because I think How long until Bryson tweets? I'm going to search it right now. How long until Bryson tweets about the metaverse?
Oh, he'll probably talk. It's like the Al Gore thing. Like, he invented the internet. He probably thinks he invented the metaverse.
It's a series of tubes or series of tunnels or something.
People are very fired up about this in the comments, by the way.
Anytime you get to talk about reality TV show or Bryson DeChambeau, it's always good for clicks. So I'm glad we're doing it.
Yeah, but I think we're done. Man, the stuff, like, if you put anything on Twitter about Bryson, just it's why
he's the most marketable guy, and it would be very interesting for him to be in this. Everyone has an opinion on him. Everyone does.
Yes, I know. Hey, producer Jacob, will you pull up this comment from Sean Harker at 9:53 p.m. if you're watching on YouTube?
It's 10:53 for you, Jacob.
Yeah, sorry. This is a take. hell yeah. I'm in on that take. Like, Rory's just going to go do his little thing and not be, you know, not have an IMDb page and just win the Masters, take Southern Hills, just go on and just 3 out of 7 or something.
The Netflix execs would not love that. Also, producer, could you imagine if the guy they don't have covered wins 3 majors?
I am way in on that take, Sean.
Producer Jacob deep in IMDb. Colin Morikawa already has an IMDb credit.
For what?
He went on the Today Show.
You get a credit for that. Do I have one for going on Morning Drive once?
I think you guys are really overestimating how difficult it is to get an IMDb credit. I think you can pretty much make your own.
You don't, like, Kyle, but there are 3 other Kyle Porters that do.
Probably the running back from Texas.
No, somebody from the art department, somebody from the sound department, and an actor.
Oh, okay.
Who has a real headshot on here.
There was a soccer player named Kyle Porter. There was a running back at Texas named Kyle Porter. And then there's me, who just writes satire books about a third-tier sport.
We all got to do our part, KP, you know? And apparently it's not that hard to get one, according to Jacob, so maybe we'll get one.
I'm so excited about this take from Sean about Rory just being like, you know what? Enough of your nonsense. I'm just going to go win majors. Maybe he's making his own documentary for Golf Pass. Maybe he's just putting it on there. Maybe Bryson's putting his on YouTube.
Yeah. Exclusivity. That's the key.
Who knows?
All right, KP. Well, appreciate it. We are going to be back after, obviously, rounds 2, 3, and 4 to break down the rest of the Sony Open. Producer Jacob does all that hard work behind the scenes. Thank you very much. You can follow Kyle on Twitter, at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.